Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, April the 15th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we've got reaction to news the boss of South East Water won't be accepting his bonus this year.
What is he expecting us to give him a pat on the back or something? I mean, this kind of feeds into the narrative that we should be kind of thanking them for doing all this work for us to provide water. It's their job.
A Medway MP has joined a campaign for tighter alcohol restrictions on delivery apps.
It does feel like there is something that's missing here, where we've got quite tight licensing laws around the purchase of alcohol when you want to go and buy it in a shop. But when it comes to these delivery apps, at the minute, there doesn't seem to be same level of scrutiny or legislation that is being applied.
And we hear from a frustrated Gillingham manager following last night's game.
We should come in 3-0 up, honestly, and I'm saying that. But if you don't take your chances, you're going to get bitten. And we did.
But first, on today's episode, police investigating the death of a 19-year-old in Whitstable have charged two men with murder. Kate joins me now with more on this story. Kate, just remind us what happened.
Well, Nicola, police were called to reports of an assault in Belmont Road in the early hours of Good Friday. They found Ashton Harrington, who'd suffered stab wounds, and he died at the scene. Now, as part of a murder investigation, officers arrested two people at a property in Sittingbourne on Monday afternoon. Kieran Barnes, who's 19 and from Romney Court in the town, and 21-year-old Tobias Agbaje from Claremont Street in Herne Bay have been charged with murder. The pair are also accused of possession of a bladed article and are due at Margate Magistrates today.
And Kate, we mentioned in a previous episode about the outpouring of grief following Ashton's death.
Yes, that's right. Ashton was a dad to an 18-month-old daughter who his mum, Camille, said he adored. She also described Ashton as hugely popular and incredibly loyal. Camille also told our reporter how Ashton had a bubbly personality and would light up the whole room with his infectious laugh. Following his death, a fundraiser was set up to pay for a funeral and support his family, and more than £7,000 has been raised.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Next today, and as promised in yesterday's episode, we've got reaction to the questioning of the boss of South East Water by MPs. David Hinton had been called to appear before the Environment Committee for a second time following major outages in the county in December and January. During the session, he admitted a water quality issue at a treatment works in Pembury should have been handled differently. He also said they'd struggled to deal with climate events and admitted the company fell short of what's expected. Now, after that meeting, Mr. Hinton released a statement confirming he won't be accepting a £115,000 bonus this year. Well, I've been speaking to Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin, whose constituents were severely impacted by water problems in the run-up to Christmas.
I think the thing that struck me was that despite personally managing the incident in December when 60,000 of my constituents were left without water, drinking water for 2 weeks, by January, a month later, he still didn't have a clear picture of what had caused that incident. And the drinking water inspectorate, the regulator, had to explain to him what it was that had happened in that incident. And that is just absolutely jaw-dropping.
He also mentioned the other outages that we had at the start of the year caused by broken pipes and things like that. What did you think about his answers to those questions in particular?
Yeah, it's not just this long outage in January we've had. We've actually had repeated outages throughout February and March, even a couple of weeks ago in my constituency of 5,000 houses here, 2,000 houses there. I think the pattern that we see from South East Water is the firm exhibits groupthink. And this means that they can't adequately understand the problems that they face, the risks, how to invest properly. And it also means they tend to blame other people when things go wrong. And they think that the fact that they're unable to fulfill their primary duty, which is what they said today, we've failed to deliver water, which is our primary duty. But they always think that there's another reason, it's someone else's fault. And actually, the Drinking Water Inspectorate, which is their main regulator, said that it was completely their fault. These incidents in December and January were foreseeable and preventable if only the company had done the proper maintenance and done the proper checks on the raw water that they were told to do by the Drinking Water Inspectorate. So it's really a failure of leadership at South East Water.
You've regularly called for David Hinton to resign. Are you quite surprised he is still taking these questions from MPs, that he is still in that job? I mean, the board today said that he still has their backing.
The chair of the board today saying that the board still backs Dave Hinton tells me that the board of South East Water is not doing its job properly. Dave Hinton today quipped that South East Water is a great company, but it just has a big interruptions problem. And I think to make a joke like that, just so tone deaf when we've had vulnerable people not able to get water, we've had schools closed, we've had thousands of children's education disrupted, I just think beggars belief. So not only is he incompetent and can't run a water company, can't manage the crisis, can't communicate, he thinks it's a bit of a joke as well. It's just beyond belief.
He issued a statement shortly after the end of the session today and said he's not going to receive a bonus, or he won't accept his bonus this year. What did you make of that?
What is he expecting us to give him a pat on the back or something? I mean, this kind of feeds into the narrative that we should be kind of thanking them for doing all this work for us to provide water. It's their job. Right? If people expect the money to leave their account by direct debit and the water to arrive, you shouldn't have to think about your water. It's the United Kingdom. It's 2026. And the fact that he's issuing that statement about not taking a bonus as if he expects us all to kind of pat him on the back and go, what a good bloke you are. He's a failed leader. He's running a failing company. And all of them are refusing to take responsibility for catastrophic failures of leadership and management, which has meant that 60,000 people have suffered from a lack of water and schools and GPs are being closed. It is ridiculous.
Now, South East Water also wanted to stress the work that's underway to reduce the risk of network outages. They've started a six-month programme which includes improvements to treatment works, upgrades to pipelines and increased spare stock. The company goes on to say they're focused on delivering a long-term business plan, the most ambitious ever produced.
Kent Online reports.
A man and woman are still in a critical condition in hospital following a stabbing in Ashford. However, police say their injuries are no longer thought to be life-threatening. Officers have been called to Fountains Close in Willesborough-Lees earlier this week. They're not looking for anyone else. Four suspected dealers have been arrested after drugs and weapons were seized in Ashford. Police stopped a 20-year-old in the town on Monday after noticing suspicious behaviour. A search at a nearby home led to two 17-year-olds being detained, while a 42-year-old woman was found at another property. A lorry driver who was caught performing a lewd act in his car at a busy shopping complex in Aylesford has been ordered to do 120 hours of unpaid work. A court heard Donald Prescott had been using an adult chat line while pulled over in Aylesford Retail Park in May. The 44-year-old from Frognall Garden in Tenham admitted committing an act of outraging public decency. Now, a Medway MP has joined a campaign for tighter alcohol restrictions on delivery apps following the death of a local man. Glenn Perkins died after being admitted to hospital with liver disease after spending up to £60 a day on drink, which he ordered straight to his front door. His daughter spoke out in a bid to raise awareness and has now got the backing of Raynham rep Nishaba Khan. She's promised to raise the issue with the Prime Minister in Parliament.
So I became aware of Glenn's story through the media, where his two daughters, Connie and Daisy, were very powerfully about what that their dad. And one of the things they said is that their dad, who was an alcoholic and very tragically succumbed to the disease, was able to purchase alcohol on delivery app really, really easy and accessible way, more so than you would if you were, for example, going to the pawn shop, to a supermarket or to a bar. So they told me that their dad, at one point, he was buying alcohol at 6 a.m. Using one of the delivery apps, and then an hour later was ordering more alcohol again using the same delivery app. And this was a pattern of behaviour where almost every hour he would be able to purchase alcohol. It was coming and being delivered straight to his house, so he wasn't having to step out, get changed or anything like that. And they really believed that if it hadn't been for such easy access, that he would have been in a different position and perhaps they would have been able to get him some support and help as well. And really, it's about looking at the law. And that's why they've reached out to me and why we've had conversation, because it does feel like there is something that's missing here, where we've got quite tight licensing laws around the purchase of alcohol when you want to go and buy it in a shop or a supermarket. far. But when it comes to these delivery apps, at the minute, there doesn't seem to be the same level of scrutiny or legislation that is being that is being applied. And what that's doing is putting quite vulnerable people at risk.
You've now joined their campaign, and you've been speaking with the sisters, and you've said, you'll take it to Parliament. What does that look like? What are we going to be calling for? Are we closing loopholes, introducing new legislation? What's the next move?
Well, the good thing with this is that we've got to get it right because obviously with any new legislation, it's got to make sure that it's workable, that it does what it suggests on the tin and doesn't create other issues or problems that we might not foresee. So really at this stage, what I want to do is understand the scale of the problem, what is possible, what looks likely. And there are some suggestions that people have already put out there. There are various campaigns on this that people are looking at, where people have been looking at tighter legislation. So things like varying the time that you can purchase alcohol. So I mentioned that Glenn was buying alcohol in the morning. Well, clearly that doesn't seem that needs to change. If you went to your local supermarket, it would be highly unlikely you'd be able to buy alcohol at 6 o'clock in the morning. Again, whether there needs to be some checks in place around just like delivery drivers will be expected to check people for age verification, which already happens to make sure they're over 18. Should there be some more onus put on these delivery app companies to be able to check whether people are passing sobriety checks and actually should be able to buy this alcohol, or should they be flagged? Should we limit the number of times you can buy alcohol within one day? So with the example of Glenn, there were several times in the day where he was using the app to purchase alcohol. For me, the key thing is to ensure that this is something that I bring up with not only the Secretary of State, but also the Prime Minister, and start to look at what the legislation can do, and what is possible. It's not going to be a quick or easy fix, as we often know when it comes to looking at changes in the law. But what I want to do is make sure we get it right as well, so that we can protect some of the most vulnerable in our society. So my plan is to start raising this pretty quickly, and then look at what legislative change is needed.
Kent Online reports.
People living near Whitstable say the smell of waste being pumped from a new housing estate is making life unbearable. Residents in Chesfield say the sewage smell from the Oxendon Park development has caused vomiting, watery eyes and trouble sleeping. Well, less than half of the homes of the 450-home estate are occupied, so bosses say their waste system is not operating properly. However, they have said they're working to fix the problem. Kent's first Costco store could be built in Aylesford. If you live nearby, you're being asked what you think about the wholesaler being based on land next to the M20. There'll be a public exhibition later this month. The shop could create 250 jobs. An estate agent based in Gravesend has won a battle to reverse a huge increase in business rates for her office. Maxine Fothergill, who runs AMAX on Parrock Street, was told her bill would be increasing from £1,530 a year to more than £6,600. It's after she lost her small business relief because the premises was valued at above the £15,000 threshold. Well, that's now been reviewed after the Valuation Office agency was contacted by the local Democracy Reporting Service. Campaigners are hoping to save a green space near Maidstone after finding out it's been put up for auction. They want the site near Abingdon Road in Barming declared a village green, which would protect it from any future development. The decision will be made by the County Council if they can prove the land has been used by the community for the last 20 years. Now, roads bosses in Kent are being urged to put in the strongest bid possible for money to fix a road in North Kent that's been closed since a landslip. Traffic hasn't been able to use Galley Hill Road in Swanscombe since a large chunk fell away in April 2023. The government has announced it'll back councils to fix infrastructure like bridges and tunnels through its new structures fund, which opens up today. Now, residents in that part of North Kent have been speaking to our local Democracy reporter, Ollie Leader, about the impact of the road closure. And they say the diversion roads being used aren't able to cope with the extra traffic.
The roads just do not take cars, vehicles,
and sometimes HGVs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been horrendous for all of us, it really has.
Just even walking down the street here, just I've several times where cars have mounted the pavements, I've nearly been run over. And it's been really close calls.
So supposedly we're in the rich, affluent South East. It isn't. This is one of the poorest communities in Kent, and they just feel totally neglected.
Well, the announcement of the funding has been welcomed by the Dartford MP, Jim Dixon. He says it shows there could be light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, we were in a situation a year ago where there was no money on the table to fix Galley Hill Road. We now have a fund we can bid into. I'm very confident that when that fund is announced, that Galley Hill road and the need to repair it will be absolutely four square within the criteria.
Bossets have refused to confirm when the world-famous Bayeux tapestry will be transported through Kent before it goes on display at the British Museum. The artefact, which depicts events leading up to the Battle of Hastings, will be on show from September for a year, while its French home in Normandy is renovated. What we do know is that it's been stored in a purpose-built case and will be loaded onto a lorry before heading through the Channel Tunnel. A singer-songwriter from Sittingbourne is going to be heard in Cafe Nero branches across the UK after his track was added to their in-store playlist. Daniel McGuinness, who works in finance, describes his sound as David Gray meets the Goo Goo Dolls. The 32-year-old song Here We Go Again was chosen after he did some live performances in the chain's cafes. Now, if you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see the moment a meteorite shot through the sky in Kent. It was caught on CCTV in Larkfield. Experts say the event is likely to have happened over the North Sea and was actually spotted across northern Europe. And keepers at an animal park in Kent are celebrating the arrival of an endangered Javan gibbon. Lima was born at Portland Reserve near Folkestone on Valentine's Day and has recently been spotted in its enclosure with mum Belle.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and it was a disappointing result for Gillingham on the road last night. Ronan Hale scored early on for the Gills at Cheltenham Town, but two second-half goals from the hosts saw the match end 2-1. A frustrated manager, Gareth Ainsworth, spoke to the club's media team after the final whistle.
We've created enough chances to win two games today, you know, and we've been guilty of not creating a lot of chances in the past. That was great play, sensational stuff. Especially first half, we had a real, you know, loads of chances to put the game to bed, and at half time we should come in 3-0 up, honestly, and I'm saying that. Probably being generous to Cheltenham. But if you don't take your chances, you're gonna get bitten. And we did, we got bitten at the end there, you know, and you can't afford to miss chances like that. And that's the thing, you know. So we set up a little bit differently. I thought we caught Cheltenham out with that. Volksy and Ronan played really well together. I thought Volksy was magnificent first off, and then that shot from Ronan, you know, brilliant. He's going to score goals. He's in to score goals. But we need to add to that. We need more goals at times because, we created a lot of chances. And Cheltenham only created sort of three or four and scored two. We've got seven. I think we've had three from like a yard, honestly. Like in one move there was two. And then there was one over there. And then there was a clean through. And I'm like, oh, put one in, boys, at least, you know. So coming in at 1-0 down was tough to take for me because we deserve so much more. Boys have done brilliant, give everything, but unfortunately we've not got a result tonight.
But performance-wise, could you have asked a lot more? There was more entry into the final third, there was more crosses from wide angles, more chances created. The only thing scratching your head is we've just haven't got a result.
Yeah, it's goals. It's been here for a few years, you know, and we're bringing in players like Ronan to try and address that, you know, and score chances. But gutted because... I'm hoping the fans have seen a good performance, that they're going, right, yeah, we can build on that. I certainly have. But unfortunately, you know, a worldie from a player who maybe shouldn't be on the pitch at the end of the game. I'm not saying whether he should be sent off or not, but there's three major incidents, fouls concerning him. I probably feel aggrieved that he's still on the pitch, but it's referee's decision, you know, got to go with it.
Of course, one of those instances was Andy Smith, who's been taken off. Is he okay?
No, he's broken his nose, I think, or bad damage to his nose. But that you can't, like, how many times do you see that, you know, that leg flailing in the air that's kicking someone in the head? You know, it's so dangerous, and that's, you know, and I was one who used to go for overhead kicks and that, so I can understand the guy doing it. But referee's surely got a. I don't listen. Leave it. We'll leave it to the refs. I don't want to get in trouble. I'll just talk about how good the performance was. Andy, yeah, took a knock to the face, and that's nasty. We're going to have to look at that. Somehow we've lost that game.
We can also hear now from goal scorer and striker Ronan Hale.
The lads are obviously all very disappointed. You know, first half's probably the best first half since I've been here that we've clicked as a team, and you know, on another day we're at a site 3 or 4 nil at half time and we're back up the road. But listen, it's one of them, it's came back to bite us and we're not taking our chances and come out the wrong end of the game.
Yeah, it's a famous old phrase, isn't it? You've got to take your chances. Sadly, well, you took yours, of course, but sadly, we didn't take the others. And I guess they sort of had belief more that we didn't take them.
Yeah, I feel like the first half was what we've been working on and getting the ball forward as soon as we can and, you know, getting chances. And there's no complaints there that we should have buried a few more. But listen, it's one of them that we've got to learn and take a chance this next game, put it out of sight and not have an episode like tonight again. So it's one we'll obviously be hurting and hopefully we can put it right Saturday.
I know you love scoring goals, but it must always be bittersweet when you haven't got the points to show for it.
Yeah, obviously as a striker, it's a thing I want to be doing, scoring, but it means nothing tonight when you come out the wrong end of the result. And obviously we'll be hurting, but we'll get over it very quickly and hopefully move on Saturday.
But the bulk of the performance, though, it must be quite encouraging as we go into the final a few games of the season. And if we continue to play like that, surely we'll win more than we lose.
Yeah, definitely. The last few games have been a massive improvement. You know, the Walsall game and getting a win at home and then a draw away at Salford. I thought, you know, we had the momentum to come here and take 3 points. And listen, it wasn't a bead tonight. And it's one of them we've got to lick our wounds and go again Saturday.
The Jewels remain 17th in the table. Staying with football, and George Ellacobi is stepping down as the manager of Maidstone United. He's been in the role for 3 years and led the team to a historic run to the fifth round of the FA Cup. The club have confirmed he'll leave when his contract expires at the end of the season. Elsewhere, England have extended their perfect record in Women's World Cup qualifying with a 1-0 win over Spain. Maidstone's Alessia Russo provided the assist to Lauren Hemp, who scored the only goal against the holders at Wembley last night. Meantime, football fans won't be able to watch England's World Cup group stage games at Folkestone Harbour Arm this summer. Bosses at the Goods Yard, which has previously shown matches on the big screen, say it's due to concerns over later kickoff times. The tournament's being held in the USA, Canada and Mexico, with kickoff for the first three games, not until at least 9 p.m. And finally, in cricket, there are fears Kent could be without fast bowler Glenton Sturman. The 33-year-old missed making his home debut against Northamptonshire due to a quad injury. Head coach Adam Holyoake says they're waiting on more scans. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.